You're listening to Alien X Radio, and this is your afternoon interview. And now on the line, I've got my guest joining me. He's an actor. He's a director. Big time director. Armand Mastroianni. I messed it up anyway. Sorry. Mastroianni. Did I get it?
Mastroianni, that's it.
I got it. All right. Well, sir, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing really well, thanks.
Awesome, awesome. I'm glad that we were able to get in touch here.
Yeah, I'm glad, too. There's a lot of action suddenly happening over a film that I made 30-something years ago, 34 years ago.
Well, that's awesome, though. That's what you hope for. That's what everybody strives for, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, hopefully the films you're currently making, you get the same attention. But this film somehow has gained such popularity. It's become a cult favorite. And it was made like in, we shot in 1979 in Staten Island, New York, and MGM picked it up in 1979. 1980 is when they released it. They saw it actually at the very beginning of 1980, and it got released in the spring of 1980. It was an amazing experience because it was my very first film. We made it for like hardly any money at all. And these two Broadway producers basically put some money up, and we cast it very quickly and shot it in 15 days, edited it, and then the next thing we know, the first people that watched it was MGM, and they bought the film and bought it for a lot of money. So we all made out very well. But the thing that happened on that film that was very interesting, along with it being my first film, it was the first film of this young actor who came in and read for us. And I really liked him a lot, but at that point, the producers really weren't interested in him because he had no credits. And it meant we had to also get him into the Screen Actors Guild, which was going to be an extra cost and all that stuff, and every penny was being watched. But I kept insisting that I like this guy, I really do. Well, anyway, we made the film. The film got made, and as soon as MGM bought it, they flew us all out to Los Angeles, and this was my first experience coming out to Los Angeles and in Hollywood, the whole thing, and they picked us up. And they flew us first class, which was, something I hadn't been doing prior to that. Anyway, we flew out, and they put us at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and the next thing I know, they were taking us back and forth to the studio, MGM, because they were having special screenings of the film, and we were doing publicity for it. And there were people that were, talent scouts and people that had seen it. And one of the actors, this young man that I particularly picked was in the film, finally got into the film, got to read for something. And he came running back that night and he said to me, "I think I got this." I said, "What is it?" He says, "It's a show called Bosom Buddies." And I said, "Well, wow, Tom, that's fantastic." And he did get it. And the rest is history. I mean, it was Tom Hanks, and that really started his career. So because we made this film got picked up by a studio, got shown to the other people, and it was all in that time that things happened. And simultaneously, I got a call from director William Friedkin, who made The Exorcist and The French Connection, who said, I definitely want to meet you and come to Warner Brothers. So I did, and he basically offered me my next picture. And he was, it was a terrific time. It was unbelievable that, it's the stuff people talk about, like in Hollywood and the dream factory, pretty much, how people get their films made and all, but that's really what happened. And, I was very fortunate because I worked in that genre for a while. I made, several, so-called horror films. It was, He Knows You're Alone, and the second one was called The Killing Hour, the one Billy Friedkin developed. And then I did a film called The Supernaturals, which was a film about zombies, Confederate zombies.
Yes.
That come back and haunt the current-day people that were out there in the fields where they were killed. And then right after that, another film, Distortions, and then another film after that, Cameron's Closet, which was also a bit of a cult classic. It was a film about a little boy with a monster in his closet. And then right after that, it was a thriller called Distortions. And, I started doing one after another. And then I got invited to do television, Tales from the Dark Side.
Yes.
And
that's good stuff.
You know, it was a really, really good time because, you know, my name was getting around and people were seeing the films I had made, and certainly, you know, they were calling me in to work for them. And then I think that led to, I mean, I can't remember. I don't know if I started doing the Friday the 13th or at that time. But it all happened in the late 80s and 90s. That
So you were working on Friday the 13th, the television series, right?
The series, yeah. I started doing the series. And then I got a show called Dark Shadows, which I ended up directing and producing with Dan Curtis. And, I mean, it was really good because it led from one thing to another. I worked later on with Wes Craven on a series called Nightmare Cafe. And then I started doing legal shows, like, you know, Against the Law and Reasonable Doubts. And it led to doing television movies, which were not in the horror genre, but for domestic violence, stuff like that, you know, not thrillers, but, you know, emotional dramas that allowed me to diversify, you know, and I wasn't coined as a horror director, you know, where some people just get, it was interesting. I had a conversation one time with Wes Craven while we were on the set. I was shooting this, the series with him, and he says, you know, I envy you. And I said, you envy me? Why? And he said, because you get to do all different kinds of films. He says, I only can make horror films. People only want to see horror films from Wes Craven. They don't want to see Music of the Night, which I did with Meryl Streep. He says, no one went to see it. And I said, but look at the career you've got. I mean, he said, but I want to do other things too, because look, I don't think anyone's happy doing what they're doing. They always want something else. You know,
sure.
that's human nature. And, You know, I was in television. I wanted to get back to features. So, and people who were in features who said, it takes so long to get a film off the ground, I'd rather be doing television where I can do one after another, like you. So, that's the way it goes. I've been blessed, though, to be able to work as much as I have been since 1980, and I'm still working. I mean, I just recently made a film called Dark Desire. I'm currently developing a TV series, which looks very good, like it's going to get, at least we're going to get a pilot done, and I'm working on another movie, you know, so I've kept very, very busy, and during that time also given first jobs to a lot of people. I mean, Matt Fox, the guy who was in Lost, and before that was Party of Five. I did a TV pilot for a series called Freshman Dorm, and we cast him. He came in. He read for me. I'm trying to think who else. I mean, there's a few people that sort of got their first start working on one of my films or in a TV show that I did. So I believe in that. I always like to give people a shot, and I always think it's important that we you know, expand our horizons, because otherwise you end up working with the same people over and over. I mean, this guy who plays a cop comes in and plays a cop. You know, I like to mix it up a little bit and give other people an opportunity.
Sure.
You know, I've been that way, and I even do that when I'm shooting a film. I ask for them, the producers, to call the local film schools and see if there's any young film students that want to intern on the set, you know, to watch the process, because that's the most effective way of learning how to make movies, is to see it actually being done. You can read as much as you want about it in books, but to be actually on the set and experiencing the day-to-day problems that come up and how we find the solutions to them is
the practical application, the practical application of what you've been learning in
absolutely
the books. Sure.
I was given a very, very great opportunity when I was in school. I cut out of school because I was in Staten Island, and I heard and read in the newspaper that there was a film, Paramount movie, coming to Staten Island to shoot called The Godfather. And they had a picture of Francis Ford Coppola with a scarf around his neck, and he was standing on the, you know, on the site where the houses were, where they did the wedding at the beginning and all that. And he was just, you know, giving instructions. They said in a few days they will be shooting. So they had some, you know, he had some prep work that he was doing there. Well, I knew what he looked like now. So I got out of school and I snuck in the day that they started filming. And there was a whole bunch of extras down at the bottom of the street. And then it was cordoned off and they wouldn't allow anyone out. So I just kind of, you know, meandered into the group of extras. And when they brought everybody up, I walked up with them, and as soon as I got on the location, I saw Francis was talking to some people, and I wanted very much to go up to him because I knew immediately I'd be found out that I don't belong there. So then I got the moment when I saw that he turned away from them and he was walking, and I stopped him and I said, "Excuse me, I really would love to stay here and watch and just learn as much as I can because I make, you know, Super 8 movies and I want to become a director someday and all this stuff." And he said, "Absolutely, absolutely, you're with me." And he took a few more steps away from me. And before I realized it, someone grabbed my shoulder and said, "What are you doing here?" And he overheard that. He turned around and he said, "It's okay, he's with me." And for the next 3 days, I watched him film some of the wonderful scenes from The Godfather, like the wedding scenes and the scene where Al Pacino and Marlon Brando were talking on the back patio before he died, and he's telling him, you know, "There wasn't enough time, Michael." And it was amazing to watch the process of how that whole thing was being put together. And I learned a lot. And that's why I do the same for other people, because I felt I was given that opportunity, and why shouldn't I share that with other people and give other, you know, young filmmakers the opportunity to just watch and learn as much as they can.
Yeah, because that's where it's at. You know, like you said, you can only learn so much in books, and the rest is watching how other people apply that that knowledge that they've learned in the books and in a practical application. You know, I mean, there's only so far you can go reading the book, like you said. So, yeah, it's great to have a mentor like that, somebody that's going to look out for you and take you under their wing a little bit and let you see how they do it. That's awesome.
Yeah, that is. I've always been fascinated with movies. I've wanted to make movies since I was a kid, so, again, I say blessed to be able to do that for so many years. You know, it's a very tough business and a very competitive business. But you know, I guess, you know, if I don't want to say this sounding like I'm patting myself on the back, but I guess if you have what it takes or you have the talent, it'll prove out and they'll keep hiring you.
Now, when you were making your very first movie, He Knows You're Alone, and you introduced us to a very young Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you still chat with Tom Hanks from time to time? Or
I do.
You do.
Excellent. He it's very funny. He's written me letters over the years. I mean, I always send him and drop him a note when a film comes out of his, and I just say, "Wow, great performance, Tom." And he says, "Well, there's another one that wouldn't have happened without that first one, you know." Or he'll send me back a note, "Thank you so much, you're so kind," blah, 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 blah. You know, one day we were having dinner with people from TNT. They took me out for dinner in a beautiful restaurant in Malibu, and it was packed to the hilt, except for one table that had a reserve sign on it. And we're sitting there, and I happen to glance out the window, and I see a car pull up. And who gets out but Tom Hanks, his wife Rita Wilson, and two other people. And I went, "Oh, my God, look at that." And everybody at the table said, what? I said, "Oh, nothing." You know, it's just, and the door opened to the restaurant, and he walked in, and everybody was talking. "Oh, hey, Tom," people shaking his hands and everything. And I kind of turned around in my chair, and I was staring at him, and he stopped, and he looked at me, and he went, "Armand?" And I nodded, and he went, "Oh, my God." He comes running over. He picks me up, and he's like hugging me, and he goes, "This is the guy that launched my career to the restaurant." You know,
awesome.
He announced it. So he's such a generous, generous man, and really someone who has been consistent in it, you know, through the years as a person like that. I mean, he hasn't, you know, been someone who has this tremendous ego or anything like that. He's a very genuine human being, and he's remained that way. And recently, this is very funny because. This film, He Knows You're Alone, has taken on, you know, has become this kind of cult film, and they show it constantly. They're showing two showings of it here in Los Angeles on the 25th and the 26th at the New Beverly. And I understand that they decided to use the second one because the first one was filled up all of a sudden. And I'm unfortunately not going to be able to be there to introduce the film, so someone else is going to do that for me. But next year, when it's the 35th anniversary, we're going to do a big question and answer thing, and they're going to show it again. However, the other day on Live with Regis and Kelly and Michael, Tom Hanks was on being interviewed for his latest film, Captain Phillips, which is outstanding, really. And the, one of the things they said was, we have some questions for you. And they said this one question is, what is your favorite Tom Hanks movie? And so people started shouting out, oh, Forrest Gump. But they were asking Tom Hanks, what is his favorite movie? And he said, no. He said, my favorite movie is He Knows You're Alone, because it was my first film, and it introduced me as a professional film actor.
Bam!
And I thought that was so cool. Everybody started calling me after that and saying, oh, my God, did you hear Tom Hanks talked about He Knows You're Alone? And God, he's done so many great films and won so many Oscars, and, you know, he still has that to talk about. So that was very nice of him. See, it proves the kind of individual he is.
Sure, sure. Gives credit where credit is due.
He does that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, sir, I thank you very much for giving me a call here inside the mothership.
Well, I so appreciate you wanting to talk to me.
Absolutely, man. Always love to talk to somebody with a wide range of talents and accomplishments. It's nice to hear that. You know, like I said, we have a lot of people that tune in that do independent films and things like that. So
good luck to them.
Absolutely.
Keep working. That's what I say.
For sure. So on behalf of myself and Michael Klinkenbeard, my producer, I do thank you for joining me. And you have a great and fantastic evening. I thank you.
You too. My pleasure. Hi, this is director Armand Mastriani, and you're listening to Alien Stone on Alien X Radio.